Well, this morning we finished up with our theme of Suffer the Little Children to Come. And tonight I want to kick off what we're going to get into next year. Who knows what the theme for next year is? What's that? Well, maybe. You are reasoning, though, because the title of tonight's message, Take Up Thy Cross, is going to lead us into it. Theme for next year is an all-sufficient salvation for a suffering saint. Going to look at suffering, focus on that, in the lives of God's people, its purposes. Sometimes we suffer because we bring it on ourselves. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, suffered both physically and emotionally as well as spiritually. It was his own fault. Sometimes it comes upon us by the will of God as a preventive thing. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians when he said, talked about his thorn in the flesh. And the purpose of it was to keep him from sin. And sometimes we have nothing to do with it. It's just the world in which we live. And the consequences of believing in Christ Jesus in a world that's antithetical to Him. So we'll be looking at the suffering and how our salvation equips us to handle it and actually makes us able to overcome it. My preaching plan for the next year is this. In the morning, we're going to do some expository studies through the book of 1 Peter. It will take us the whole year to get through those five chapters. Now, it shouldn't take that long. But I'm just going to preach and preach. No, that's not the case. Intermixed along the way, we're going to do some topical studies of those who have suffered. The preaching plan for the month of January is I'll get through the first Sunday is, I forget what verses they are, but a message in 1 Peter, and then the second Sunday, I will not be here. Third Sunday is a second message. And then the fourth Sunday is an example of somebody who suffered. So, roughly speaking, two messages from 1 Peter, then a physical or a personal example of somebody who suffered is the game plan. In the evening messages, I want to do some studies in the book of Job. And I'm going to be honest with you, I shouldn't say this. I was encouraged, though, by Jim Fritz and his transparency a couple of weeks ago when I was gone, and he said he likes to watch romance movies. I said, I went up to him afterwards. I said, you're going to lose your man card. But I'll be honest with you tonight. I'll be transparent. I don't like the book of Job. To me, just reading the thing, it's kind of monotonous and repetitious, and I know I shouldn't say those things. I honestly understand every word in there is there for a purpose, but we'll kind of do some hop, skipping, and jumping around through the book of Job. The book of Philippians is when Paul was in Rome in prison, and he talked about having joy through all his suffering there. And then finally, the book of Ruth. There's, I believe, if I remember correctly, seven messages from the book of Ruth. And there's a story of suffering, too, and overcoming it through a great salvation. There'll be some topical studies on suffering, why we suffer. Going to look into the theological doctrine of thanatology. You don't know what thanatology is. No? Anyone know what thanatology is? It's the study of death. Thanatos is a Greek word for death. So we're going to do a few studies in that. But that's the game plan for the following year. But tonight, I want to lead into to next year's study by looking at one verse of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he, that is Jesus, said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, you know from the outset that the idea of taking up your cross and following Christ ultimately leads to suffering. And I think this is a good way to introduce the topic tonight. I want to take this verse apart because it, quite frankly, is a verse that is misunderstood, misused by good people. And it's very necessary to have a complete understanding of this. Let me first of all set the context. The context of this verse comes right after Peter's declaration of Christ as the Son of the living God. Who do men say that I am? And there were the various answers. And then Jesus answers, who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and he says that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's Matthew's rendition of it. But nonetheless, it's that passage of Scripture. And following that, Jesus declares to them that he's heading towards Jerusalem. And there he's going to suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And there he is going to die. But the promise is that he will rise again from the dead. And this passage, this verse, falls immediately on the heels of that declaration. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, well, that's what they had been doing for nearly 3 years at this point in time. And he's pointing out to them, the going is going to get rough. Are you prepared to take that step? Let's take a look at this. Break it down. First word I want to consider tonight is he said to them, all. It's very important that you understand who the all is. As I said before, this was spoken immediately after Peter's confession. The all in context refers to the apostles. It refers to those who have made a decision already of receiving Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. It's not given to a broad multitude of people. It's given primarily, in fact, only to believers, but it's given to every believer. If you're here tonight, and I trust that that's the case, I have no reason to believe otherwise, and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, this passage then is also addressed to you. There are no getting out of this. Oh, he meant somebody else by this. It doesn't pertain to me. I have an excuse for mother. A lot of people say that they weren't called to such a suffering. The fact of the matter is, he said to them all, if any man will come after me. Well, there we go to the next one. If any man. Well, what if I decide that I don't want to come after Christ? Do I have that option? In the Greek language of the New Testament, there are what is known as conditional sentences. In fact, there are three types of conditional sentences, a first class, a second class, and a third class. A first class conditional sentence uses the word if, but it's used in a way that describes something that is actually true. For example, when Satan came to Christ in the temptation in the wilderness, he said, if thou be the Son of God. And it is better translated, since you are the Son of God. It's a statement of fact. That's a first class. A second class is a statement that's contrary to reality. Mary and Martha both used it when Lazarus, their brother, had died. And they said to Christ, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but you weren't here. A third class conditional sentence is a statement that really emphasizes the if. There's no certainty to it. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen is the idea. Well, what's the condition of this sentence here? Well, this is a first class conditional sentence. The since or the if there is not a question of, well, do you want to or don't you? The if is, you are expected to come after me. That's not a choice that you can make within the will of God. He said to them all, I expect you to come after me. Which brings me to the next thing, the come after me. Some people use this verse of Scripture as a condition of salvation. If any man is going to be saved, he must take up his cross daily and follow after Christ. Well, as I said, the all there is important. He's speaking to believers, so he's not speaking about a condition of salvation because they were already saved. The fact of the matter is you cannot come after Christ until you first come to Christ. And there are a number of verses in the New Testament that talk about coming to Christ. If any man labor and is heavy laden, let him come to me. But this verse is speaking of discipleship. If you will come after me, if you will follow me, if you are going to live the life that I have designed for you, that I require of you, which is expected of you, you will come after me. Not before me, not beside me, but after me. Lord, here are my plans for life. Work them out. No, you're not coming after the Lord here. You're coming ahead of him. Or at the very least beside him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now here comes a matter of choice. Not will I choose to follow after Christ or not choose to follow Christ, but what will I do with the life that he's given me? Who will I make supreme in my life? Who will I make in the position of authority? As I noted this morning in the text about the young man who came to Christ and he came running and he kneeled and he said, "Good master, what should I do that I might inherit eternal life?" He didn't bow to the authority of what Jesus said. Are you willing to do what Jesus said? If you will come after me, then of necessity you need to let him deny himself. Ay vey. That goes against everything this world is telling us that a person should be doing today. Who's number one? The person you have to look out for? Well, of course you are. You know, I have a Savior who looks out after me. One of my favorite verses. Roy's outside. He's not even paying attention to me tonight. Where are you, Roy, so I can pick on you? One of my favorite verses is one that you preached on this morning in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, where Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Don't you love that? Every day, at the right hand of God, at the throne in heaven, he is making intercession for you and I. He's watching out for us. When, and we'll get to this when we study the book of Job, one day, Satan is in heaven, which is to me an absurd thought. But he's there. And the Lord says to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I've watched them. I know what's going on down there. Oh, but he's only doing those things because you're good to him. Well, the Lord says, why don't you try your test out on him, see if that's the case or not. Do you know the Lord knew Job inside and out, or he couldn't have made that statement. He would have been up in heaven twiddling his thumbs saying, "I hope I got it right. I hope I got it right. I hope I got it right." But when he made that statement, he said, "I know I have it right. I know him." Let him deny himself. What does that mean? Well, denies my authority. I will never, ever forget years ago at a consistory meeting that we had downstairs. Chris Ryan was one of the deacons at that point in time. And he was in charge that month of bringing in the devotional message for the men. And he talked about being a servant. And he made a statement. He said, "A servant has no authority whatsoever. A servant never goes to the master and says, this is the way you ought to do things. This is when you should do things. This is how you should do things. The servant says, master, what do you want done?" Let him deny himself. That would be his authority. Let him deny himself. That would be what his pleasures are. Lord, I will serve you if you do this for me. If you will bring pleasure into my life. If you will bring goodness into my life. If you will do this. The foxhole conversions. Lord, I'll serve you if you get me out of this mess. Why weren't you serving him before that? He is Lord. Let him deny himself. Let him deny his own intelligence. I remember hearing a song long ago about the passage in Exodus where God tells Moses to cast down his rod and it becomes a snake. And then the Lord says to him, Moses, pick that thing up. Now, that's not quite King James language, but you know the idea of the thing. And the song goes, you don't pick up a snake. See, Lord, you don't know how this works. Those snakes are mean. They bite, and it's not a good thing. Lord, it's not like you made them or anything. Because we're so intelligent, we know that they just evolved over a period of time. Lord, I think I know better about you. Got to tell you a funny story. This class that I'll be taking in next week, well, not this coming week, but the following one. It's going to deal with the subject of transgenderism. And I ordered a book. Actually, I put a book on my wish list from Amazon that my daughter bought me for Christmas. It came the other day in the mail. Unfortunately, it came to our neighbor. When we came home from the office last Saturday, the neighbor came running down the sidewalk to our house, and she had this package in her hand, and she said, I'm so sorry, I opened it, I thought it was for me. She said, I ordered a book for my 5-year-old daughter. And she said, I opened it up, she said, that wasn't the one. But I began reading the book last Saturday, and the author of it made a significant point. In today's society, people say, who knows me better than me? And therefore, if I say, I feel like I was created a woman, but I came in a man's body or vice versa, I know better than anybody else, even God. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, his authority, his intelligence, his will, his necessities, take up his cross. A lot of people wear a cross, and I have no problems with anyone wearing a cross. Probably it's the most popular piece of jewelry around. Even people who have no love at all for Christianity might be found wearing a cross because it's kind of a neat symbol. But it's an instrument of death. The most cruel, the most violent, the most painful death man ever devised. Let him take up his cross. I can't take up Jack's. Jack can't take up Lois's. Lois can't take up Shirley, and all the way around here, we can only take up our own cross. The Lord Jesus, as he was led out from Pilate's judgment hall out to go to Golgotha, was made to carry his cross, which he could not bear. And finally, they had to summon one, Simon of Cyrene, to carry his cross for. But a cross speaks not only as an instrument of death, but the burdens of this life. The cross was too heavy for Jesus to bear after suffering all that he suffered. And sometimes, in carrying our cross, we bow under the weight of it. But there's always someone there to carry it for us. There should be other people to help us along the way, other Christians. But God himself bears that cross with us. Let him take up his cross. A willingness to put their life on the line daily. It's not a once and for all decision, although I think it begins with a once and for all decision. But it's a decision that is repeated every day of the life. When you wake up in the morning, am I willing today to take up my cross and follow after Christ? Or today, is it going to be a day when I'll do what I want to do? If you take up a cross, you're going to suffer. If you don't take up your cross, you're going to suffer. Like David did when he looked for the pleasures of a Bathsheba. You'll look for the pleasures that'll satisfy you during the day, and they all come back to you. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. A willingness to be obedient to the commands of Christ, to go where you want me to go, to do what you want me to do, to say what you want me to say, to whom you want me to do and to say and do all those things to. Do you realize that one of the most repeated messages of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly message, in his earthly ministry, was "Follow me." I did a quick study of it, and I noted a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19: "He saith unto them, Follow me; I'll make you fishers of men." Matthew 8:22: "But Jesus said unto him, Follow me; let the dead bury their dead." As Jesus passed forth from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, Follow me. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. This is the passage in Matthew's gospel that we looked at this morning. And come and follow me. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know that statement there is just that? It's not a command. It's an indication of the genuineness of a person's salvation. Do you follow Christ? If any man serve him, let him serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do you recognize that in all the suffering that may occur in following Christ, there's a blessing? My Father will honor me. I don't know if I want to go where he's going. My Father will honor you there. If you're not following him, there's no honor. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And at the end of his earthly ministry, right before his ascension, the Lord is talking with the disciples, and Peter's questioning about what John's going to happen. And he says to Peter, when you were young, you went wherever you will. Now when you get old, someone's going to lead you, and sometimes it's not going to be where you want to go. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Do your own thing. You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do. With whomever, it doesn't matter. Follow me. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Follow me. Isn't it good? Next year we're going to learn all about suffering. I can't wait. That sounds masochistic. Who wants to suffer? Oh, that sounds great. Frankly, if you say that sounds great, something's wrong, isn't it? But it's expected that if we live for Christ, we'll suffer with him. But if we suffer with him, that will be glory. And who doesn't want that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful year that you've given to us. Of all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And now as we stand at the threshold of a new year, as we look forward to what your word is going to teach us, we do so with some anticipation of good and some anticipation of, oh boy, what am I getting into? But remind us throughout all of it that wherever the Lord Jesus leads, and wherever then the believer follows, is always going to be a place of ultimate glory. May we not be afraid of suffering. May we be only afraid of not being out of your will and lagging behind. To that end, we commit ourselves again. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good rest of the year.